Good evening, young disciples. I am really going to miss that. That has been awesome. I guess I'm going to have to hold on to this. It's been a real joy to spend this week with you all. It really has. It's been fun to watch you all grow closer together. I found myself really reflecting on my youth. And I was a tough kid to have around. And I went to camps. But as I watched your counselors, how they worked with you, as I listened, as I look and read the rules and how they were explained, you know, for the first time, I thought to myself, you know, this is a camp that I would have enjoyed coming to. And so it's been a lot of fun, just the way to see how things are run here. Heard a lot about YD and been using the materials in my churches. But it was a blessing to spend this time with you. And so I want to thank the folks at YD for the invitation to come. I also enjoy the sanctuary, not because it's a hobby, but because it teaches me how to walk with Jesus. And it reveals to me the beautiful character of God. And so I hope you have been blessed in this time. I hope it has whet your appetite to do some more reading on your own. I wanted to just recommend a couple books to you. If you do have an interest in studying the sanctuary, I would encourage you to begin with this one, Christ and His Sanctuary by Ellen White. It's really good. It'll lay a real nice foundation for you. And of course, we're looking at material that is inspired by the Lord, so it's safe. And then you can begin your journey from there in studying the sanctuary. But you will find that to be a blessing. Also, if you are, you know, just kind of thinking about devotional life, this is a book early in my life that really helped me to have a devotional life with Jesus. It's actually a book that's been around for some time. It's by Carol Shoemake. She was a pastor's wife. I'm not sure she's still alive. But the book is called Practical Pointers to Personal Prayer. I'm sure Amazon will have it. I don't know if the ABC still does. But it's a great little book on how to have a devotional life. Practical Pointers to Personal Prayer. I'll have them up here if you want to look at them later. But what I'd like to do for my final thought here is if you have your Bibles, let's take a look at our scripture text for this morning, John chapter 15. By the way, you know, I didn't ask this. Are there any devotional books here at the camp store? Any devotional books? It'd be a great time to promote one. I'm not sure. Eugene, you're smiling. Did I miss one? Is there a book in there on? What's that? What's in there? Okay, fair enough. All right. Well, maybe later on one will be brought out. But John chapter 15. And in my mind, this is so incredibly important to us as Christians. This is all important to us. John chapter 15, and I'm going to read verses 4 through 6. John 15, 4 through 6. And again, when we see the word abide, I'd like for you to say it nice and loud. And that's our first word. So if you can begin us, get us started here. In me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire. And they are burned. You know, here's the key to a successful Christian walk with Jesus. And you know, the Proverbs, Solomon reminds us, can two walk together unless they are in agreement? And so it's when we talk about walking with Jesus, we're talking about submitting our lives to Him. You remember what we talked about, that to produce the fruit in the life, the branch doesn't try to produce fruit. What the branch does is it stays connected to the source of the fruit production. And being connected means yielding our lives to Him And that's another word for obeying him. It's very interesting. But, you know, right now, since October 22, 1844, we have been living in the time of the investigative judgment. And this is ultimately what the bottom line, what the investigative judgment is investigated. Did this man, did this woman maintain their abiding relationship with Christ? And so the Bible writers, you'll find a number of them encouraging us to maintain that connection. I think in 1 John 2:28, I'm just going to rattle these off quickly. You can write down the references if you're writing. But 1 John 2:28, John writes, he encourages us to continue in the faith. Paul, in Colossians 1:23, encourages us to endure unto the end. Jude, in Jude 21, encourages us to keep ourselves in the love of God. And again, Paul, in Hebrews 3:6-14, he says, holding fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. The key is to maintain that connection with Jesus every day. What I would like to do, and you know, what we're really talking about here, that is the key to victory over sin, is maintaining that connection with Jesus Christ. Josh, I'm going to ask you if you come forward. I'm going to for an illustration here. I want to illustrate this for you, okay? Josh is going to help me. Josh, if you can stand over here and hold this up there. All right, thank you. Let's just pretend for a moment that it's raining, okay? And just for illustration's sake, the rain is sin, okay? And I am soaked. And I'm really discouraged. And then I run into my friend Joshua. And Josh says to me, I can help you, and invites me to walk with him. So I come over and with Josh, and we begin to walk. And after a while, I begin to notice that I am now dry. And I am so happy. I got victory over wetness. And I say, thank you so much, Joshua, for doing that for me. And then I say goodbye. What happens? Okay. Victory is never something that Jesus gives us apart from himself. Jesus is my victory. I'm only as victorious as I am walking with Jesus. Is this making sense? You know, don't go quite yet. You know, before I walked with Jesus, my life was a world of sin. Now listen to me, my young friends. The day I stop walking with Jesus, I will revert to everything I was before. You know, I just got off the phone today with a gentleman. He is a hockey player. He is a goalie. He is Canadian. Any Canadians in here? He's a Canadian goalie. He plays on the Sabbath. His wife's an Adventist. And he is rough and tumble, foul language, beer drinking. Well, he started reading his Bible. He's no longer playing games on the Sabbath. Just got off the phone with him today. While y'all were singing down below, I was talking to him on the phone. And he's no longer drinking. He's no longer cursing. You see, walking with Jesus changes the life. Now, look who's holding the umbrella. Notice who's holding it? It's him. So go ahead, you can start walking. So I've got to go where he goes. Wherever he leads me, I go. Wherever school he sends me to, wherever job, wherever he sends me to work for him, wherever he sends me when it comes time for a relationship, are you with me? If I follow him, Jesus will always steer me right. Thank you so much, Josh. I appreciate it. Does that illustration work? Does that make sense? I want you to notice something here in the sanctuary. Remember we talked about how we come to Jesus every day. Every day we make sure that everything's right between our soul and our Savior. Every day we recommit our lives to him. We ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We spend time in his word. We talk to him in prayer. This is known as the what? Daily. All right, the daily. And we're engaged in this how often? Daily. All right. So let's say I'm coming to Jesus, and I've checked my heart. Everything's right between my soul and my Savior. I spend time with him. As I recommit my life to Him, ask to be filled with the Spirit, I spend time in this Word, and all of a sudden the Lord reveals something in my life that is not in harmony with His life. Okay? In other words, I was ignorantly disobeying Him, but now I'm aware. What am I supposed to do? Follow this. Don't miss this. What I do is I come back out here. And as I become aware, I ask God to forgive me because I didn't realize it, and I recommit that to Him. And I ask the Holy Spirit to make my commitment stick, and I continue to walk with Jesus. Does that make sense? Does it? The reason I point this out to you, this is very significant. What is on, the outer court has a boundary. What is this out here? Does anybody remember what that was? That's allowed. What is this? It's the courtyard, but what is this out here? As you were there, okay, it was the curtain. What color was what was the curtain made out of? It was linen and it was white. What was it symbolic of? Very good, the righteousness of Jesus. So when I give my life to Jesus Christ, His righteousness covers me. And as I walk with Him daily, that righteousness is covering me. And when I see sin in my life, if I come to Him and ask for forgiveness, He washes away my sin and I remain covered. But if I do not ask for forgiveness, I'm outside of the covering because the covering of Jesus was never given to cover sin, known sin. Does that make sense? So it's so important to maintain that covering, that walk with Jesus every single day. Remembering the illustration of the cup and the water, I want to share one thing with you. You know, in the great controversy between Christ and Satan, as I have looked at it, the biggest issue that you and I have to wrestle with, it all boils down to one question: can God really be trusted? And you and I have to determine that. I remember a time in my life when I looked at the Ten Commandments and I thought to myself, boy, that's a burden. And a wise old grandfather came to me and he said, George, the law's a burden? He said to me, this is early in my walk, and he said to me, which one is a burden? Is it the one that says don't kill? Is there somebody you're wanting to kill? Is it the one that says don't steal? Is there something you want to steal? And as I began to think about it, I realized I was just repeating what other people had said. But the law was good. The law is good. God is good. I want to encourage you in your walk with Jesus. I really do. I know the Lord is going to bless you all richly. You're all a special group. It's been fun to watch you interact with one another. And remember to walk with Him daily. And if you do, one day, when the sky cleaves open, we're all going to go home together. May the Lord bless you richly. Let's pray. Let's kneel. Father in heaven, we just come to you again this evening so grateful for your love and mercy. Lord, you did not send your Son into the world to condemn it. You sent your Son to save it, for God so loved the world. And Lord, it's amazing that as we really stop to think about it and we study the Bible and the spirit of prophecy to think that what you did to save us required an incredible risk that risked the throne and eternal loss. Lord, love could not be expressed more eloquently than the risk that you took and the life that you were willing to lay down to save us. You gave us a value that we could never add to or take away. Neither can anyone else. Lord, help us to understand that your death for us was personal. You didn't die for a group of people. You died for individuals. And so, Lord, I ask this evening for your Spirit to be poured out in full measure upon all the young people here. I pray, Lord, that the seeds that were scattered this weekend will find fertile soil and produce a bountiful harvest to the salvation of those who have heard and to those for whom they will share it with. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Bless the remainder of our time this evening. I do pray, may your name be glorified in it. And then for those who will be heading home tomorrow, may you give to each a mighty escort of your majestic angels. Thank you for this, for we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.